We are back, and we have Dr. Peter Breggin live. Are you there, Peter? Can you hear me?
Yes, that glitch is all mine.
Oh, no problem.
You know
Don't worry
is?
About it.
Okay.
Todd, would you reconnect with Erica, please? She's standing by. Okay, thanks. We just did our Wednesday version. We do 3 hours a week on this horror, Erica and I, and we just finished that, Peter. And it's a remarkable unfolding horror what's happening. And to try to, as you and Ginger did so brilliantly in the book, try to catch it all and encapsulate it into a little pick up in your hand, hold on to book is great. I hope you're still selling a lot of books. It is the ultimate book on this disaster, this evil human created disaster that is, in my view, probably responsible for the death of at least 10 million Americans. I may be off on that. I'm going to put the spread at between 10 to 20. What do you and Ginger think about that? How many have died directly and indirectly from this biological weapon that is owned by the Department of Defense and the Pentagon? How many dead so far? What do you think? What's your projection on that?
Well, it's very, very hard to know. There are two ways that this whole thing has caused death. The first was the first wave, and now the continuing waves of COVID, all of which originated in the Wuhan lab with the support of the United States government.
Yeah.
That's where our book COVID-19 begins, COVID-19 and the global predators, the other mm-hmm. prey. And it began with our discovery that the U.S., Fauci, his NIAID, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious mm-hmm. Diseases, was funding SARS-CoV research, creating these pathogens out of harmless bat viruses, and doing it with communist China, and that this has been going on for years, and that China, way back 2003-04, was having leaks from their labs from tinkering with these viruses. So there was this whole thing. You were talking about the closing down of any alt news. This whole thing was going on, and the research that we found was right there in the major journals, so everybody had access to them. Fauci
yeah.
certainly knew
yeah.
he was funding them. So you have two waves. The first wave is the release in China of the virus and the failure to tell people about the risk, and then collaborating with Fauci and the head of the NIH and with the World Health Organization to keep open all the travel, unrestricted travel from China, including the Wuhan Institute, to the
yeah.
United States and the rest of the world. Hundreds of thousands of people flying to the United States. Now, that's number one that started to cause deaths. Then number two.
One other note mm-hmm. on that, Peter. It was apparently about 5 million Chinese flew out of China after the government announced that a pending shutdown of people leaving the country was going to happen. 5 million more left who were probable carriers of the virus. And they came here, as you said. They went all over the place. Correct?
They went all over the place. And we couldn't count the people who we couldn't stop the people who were doing a flight to, say, when Trump finally stopped it, he couldn't stop the flights that were going via Berlin or via London
oh, sure.
or other major
yeah.
cities. The only ones he could yeah. stop were directly from China. And that included hundreds of thousands of certainly passengers. And God knows how many more were coming in through the multiple other routes that one would fly into the United States. And then that spreading caused, you know, untold numbers of deaths. And then when the virus hits here, we start shutting down the country. That causes deaths. And then most of all, important of all, we prohibit the use of time-honored medications for the treatment of severe respiratory illnesses. Hydroxychloroquine, which is one, I'm a real expert on adverse drug effects. I researched it carefully, and it's one of the safest drugs ever used. Hundreds of millions of people literally took for malaria, but also for other kinds of inflammatory problems in the U.S. Very inexpensive drug, very safe drug. And then Nobel Prize for ivermectin. It was such a great drug for parasites and so safe, and it could also affect severe inflammatory infections. And then the most bizarre thing of all prevented us from using prednisone and other very inexpensive, extraordinarily effective suppressors of severe inflammation. I mean, they suppress four or five different kinds of drugs, like some basic antibiotics, and they said you can't treat. The first time in history, you doctors can't treat this inflammatory reaction, this terrible disease that was causing such serious inflammatory reactions. You can't treat them. Never happened before in the whole world. Never happened before. That doctors were told to send patients home, and they're still doing this to this day, and telling them, stay there until you're very sick and can't breathe, and then you go to the hospital. Then in the hospital, we have been giving them, and still are, these respirators, and we're giving them drugs like remdesivir that kill people. And then if the patient I'm just so on this, it's just hard to keep. I need to be interrupted to make sense, maybe.
But no, not at all. No. You got it. In the hospital, put on remdesivir, shut your kidneys down, your lungs fill up with fluid, they put you on an intubation protocol, and you're gone. And that's how they did it. They killed tens and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people ultimately.
And that was just the beginning, because after that was just the introduction to the vaccines. And the vaccines now, and I'm going to have trouble naming a figure, but certainly in America, it's possible that more than a million people died without needing to, maybe many more, and still are now from the vaccines.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the discussion is that I'm hearing from other scientists who have even more information than I do at any given moment, that the deaths are from the vaccines are surpassing the deaths from the failure to treat or the bad treatment of the disease itself. And the FDA announced that they weren't going to pay any attention to their own system, where they get in all these reports from doctors and nurses.
Oh, they're beyond corrupt. Beyond corrupt, those people.
So we're looking at mass murder. I'm willing to say that the global governance that we're looking at, that we describe in our book in detail, the global governance, I call them now the Eastern and Western empires, and the Eastern Empire is China pulling so many strings, Xi Jinping. In the Eastern Empire, it's those fools who are meeting at Davos now, the World Economic Forum. They look like fools, but they are
deadly clowns, Peter.
Deadly clowns.
Yeah, they are. Erica is here as well, Peter. I don't know if you knew that. Are you there, Erica?
Hi, Peter. Good to be on the program with you again. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Now, Peter, about China. China has made a major shift. Xi Jinping and his other communist cronies decided to open the country up. They're not trying to lock anybody down anymore. They claim they had 27,000 cases in one day or something. They claim that the virus is running loose. And in the meantime, they're opening China's borders for Chinese to go abroad, just like it was before. So they're back to that. So we're facing, again, subvariants that may be running rampant in China, being brought over here and brought all around the world by Chinese nationals. That's the same thing. It's a repeat of stage one, as you made clear.
Yeah, the Chinese are at war with us. They have been at war with us since Mao, and we were funding Mao. We had banks funding Mao back in the 1940s. We did a lot to help them. And now we're funding so much of what goes on in China by multiple ways. And yes, they are at war with us. They call it unrestricted warfare. They've got some high-ranking officers who wrote an amazing book about unrestricted warfare. The only measure of ethics is, did you succeed? And there are no methods that can be excluded, including, stealth and lying and cheating and interrupting communications and, putting people in key places in this country or corrupting presidents like, pretty much every president in recent time except for the anti-globalist Trump, who announced early on his platform is anti-globalist. All the others, including both Bushes, their families involved in China, making millions from China. And of course,
and the Bidens too, of course. Yes.
And finally, the Bidens. The estimates, there's very good books about this, and we cite a lot of these good books that people can expand their knowledge with. But it is now so well demonstrated that to say the Bidens enriched themselves by tens of millions is not an exaggeration. It's somewhere up in those tens of millions that they. So we have a president who not only, I don't believe, won the election, but he has been a criminal for taking tons of money through
career
his
criminal.
Son.
Yeah, career yeah. criminal. Yeah.
Oh,
Erica,
my God.
Anything you want to jump in here with?
I just want to say to the origins of this scamdemic, there's some evidence that whatever this virus is was already making its way through the population in early 2019. I think we've been fed a story of sorts that it came out of China at the time that it did, October of 2019, presumably, because they've looked at serology, people's blood, antibodies, and they can tell that people were exposed to this virus before they actually, announced it. I remember there was a nursing home in Virginia in I believe it was June of 2019 that had a mysterious respiratory bug that went through the facility and ended up killing quite a few of the residents. And then the whole vaping scandal that was, in the headlines for quite a bit of 2019, there was some speculation that, well, was that really vaping or was that the so-called virus? So I think we're still missing pieces of the puzzle.
I think we are missing pieces of the puzzle because we're dealing with a nation at war with us.
Yeah,
and on top
yeah.
of the fog of war, you have the lying and cheating and cover-up
yeah.
of practically every Western institution of what's been going on.
Right.
I know that one of the people I respect the most, a virologist who worked in China, her opinion has been that they were possibly exposing the populations, their own populations, thinking they could keep it under control at various times. And it could have been something other than SARS-CoV-2 because these people were making multiple variations of SARS-CoV.
Yes.
The research goes back to 2003-04 when there was a smaller but more deadly pandemic, and it was of approximately 8,000 people got contaminated around the world. It didn't get to the U.S., and 10% died. And no one knows where that one came from. that was the original one from animals or some bats or somebody. But actually, I've looked at that carefully. The coverlet persists there. We don't know where the first one came from. It could have been lab created. Mm-hmm. And so we've got all kinds of variants going on. And what are we being hit with now? So one of the problems with this mass vaccination that I'm sure you're aware of is that it produces just continuous mutations because the vaccination is preventing the older, more original kinds of SARS-CoV from surviving because they're getting some resistance from the vaccination. Not a very good resistance, but some. And that immediately starts proliferating other SARS-CoV that are going to replace the original ones. And that's part of this war where we're just having more and more of these. We show in the book that almost everything was anticipated, that they knew. I'll tell you one of the most horrible things I came up with looking at the literature, and we outlined, you know, presented in the book, in both the chronology and in the text. And that is that they knew by 2021, I'm sorry, by 2019 and 20, that they shouldn't be experimenting with SARS-CoV on humans because they weren't able to control the deaths in animals.
Mm-hmm.
And that they knew what they were getting. And, I mean, for me to accept this, that was the final step, and it's kind of, and it's even, it's led me, and we're writing a new book, and one of the things that's driving the new book is, how could people do this? What's the history of human beings who seem to be normal, have families, socialize, win government offices?
Yeah.
How could they participate in mass murder? But if you look at the development of empires going back before the birth of Jesus, going back to 2021 BC, was the culmination of the first huge empire in China, official recognition of it, and it was a totalitarian empire, and it killed
2021.
One half
Peter,
of the people.
2021
BC.
That's pretty interesting. So the first great nation-state empire was more or less formally acknowledged in 2021 BC. That's interesting.
That's the most certainly totalitarian, or you know, controlling free speech, controlling religion, controlling all the neighbors, making itself the epitome of what was good and right. There were still earlier empires. India had a great empire, and there's empires everywhere. It's
your point is fascinating, because 2021 years ago, the Chinese were doing exactly what they're doing right now, 2021 years hence. That's 4,000 years of practice, and they've got it down now. They've got it.
And that particular Chinese emperor is deeply admired by Xi Jinping. The two people he admires the most are the great dynasty of 2021 and BC and Mao. Now, Mao murdered up to, according to estimates that have been promoted by the party itself, 100 million Chinese. Now, this is not, these killings are not in warfare. They're extermination programs to get control over the population, and I think for the bloodlust, for the sake of it by these monstrous people. And so it's been with us, and that's a very important connection between those empires. And here in this country, our diplomats have been saying, oh, the Chinese history is one of self-containment, non-expansion. We can build them up and, you know, do business. business with them, and they will become good neighbors. They'll be like us. Not that we were being good neighbors, because we've had very violent people running our governments, and we've had very violent activities from our CIA and so on. But at any rate, that was the BS, was they were going to become a genuine capitalist libertarians or something, when, of course, from the beginning, Mao was an imperialist. He's a Marxist. Marxist's theme is workers of the world unite. They didn't mean just workers in South Dakota or something. They meant workers of the world unite. So you've got the empire of Marxism and the empire of the Chinese feeding into what they're doing now. And very few people are talking the way I am, but this is the absolute truth. And we cite
this
so
is
many
a, this
books.
Is, Peter, this is an essential reality, what you're quoting right now. That
yes.
People need to
yes.
understand, those who are aware that, as Peter said, the Chinese are at full unrestricted warfare against us now. And I mean anything coming out of China should be avoided by any intelligent person, especially anything that is a consumable product, especially. These people, I call them the kingdom of the killer ants. I do not hate all
yeah.
Chinese, so don't give me that stuff. But these people need to be understood for what and who their leadership is, and it is not an enlightened, loving, kind group of people. They have no qualms with mass extermination. And believe it, they are more than aware of the fact that we are Western Europe, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. We are currently in the crosshairs of mass extermination. And they will do everything they can to accelerate that or to enhance it. There's no problem with them. Your point is perfect.
And it's a horrible thing, and I really try to stay with the facts. You know, you notice I haven't quoted the 10 million figure. We don't know how many deaths we have, but they're in the millions, and they are caused by the combination of all these different things that I was just describing
right.
for you. And there's going to be no end to it. We have to stop these people. We absolutely have to stop them. And
Peter, first we have to stop our own communist, Bolshevik, Marxist-minded people here.
Absolutely.
That are on the same damn page with what you described so eloquently that's going on in China. You're right. You're
yes.
completely right.
You know, all of the Republicans rejected Trump. The major Republicans,
yeah.
and people said, well, it's because he's orange, well, he's a xenophobe, he's this, he's that, and the two impeachments. And it is really time for Americans to understand what all that was about. All it was about was it was our first anti-globalist president, our first anti-elite president going back maybe... I was reading one historian who said Lincoln was the last president to even try to confront the elites. And he was the first president to say he's not for the elites, and very specifically, he was anti-globalist. And that meant, and he was very specific, that he didn't care if the Koch family didn't support him, because the Koch family, the supposed freedom-loving libertarians,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
who were deeply involved in foreign investment and Chinese investment, who want open borders so that the labor force in the U.S. can be as cheap as the labor force in Africa or South America. That's what they want. And he came out and he said, I'm not in favor of that during his campaign. That's why on the day of his election, the Washington Post was already running impeachment articles, because it's really that more
yeah.
than anything else. It's not his personality and all that other stuff. That's what they feed the people and get the people riled up about. The real issue, he was our first anti-globalist president.
Well, he talked a good game during the campaign. I don't know what it was like in the administration of the White House during the actual presidency. But I do know that, unfortunately, to this day, whether he's being forced into it or otherwise, he's still pushing that biological weapon they call a vaccine.
Yes, absolutely. And we do know quite a bit about, well, we, you know, Paul Alexander, dear friend of mine, he has a book out about his experience in the White House. He used to work. He is a PhD. He's a scientist. He's the one who monitors the scientists. And he was at the WHO, World Health Organization. I just spent an hour and a half talking to him. I can't even remember. It's so busy, whether it was an hour and a half today or an hour and a half yesterday. I think it was today.
Well, you're fighting the same thing we fight. The days now are seamless. They just, it's one day.
It's the same thing, yes. Well, Paul was invited to be, he was in Canada at the time, and he was invited to come to the U.S. and to be a part of the advisory committee to the President of the United States from Asia. And he was be advising the top people at HHS and also, you know, with the president as well. And, you know, he was very cordially brought down, heavily vetted. But once he got there, he couldn't get near the president. They wouldn't even give him his salary. They somehow had to give him his badge. And he spent the whole time there trying to get a word in edgewise. And the president either, well, partly by the attacks on him, they went after General Flynn, who was probably his most wily, knowledgeable collaborator from within the deep state. And they knocked him off immediately by a very, very devious means. And eventually the charges were tossed out by the court. Practically ruining him economically with lawsuits against him from our government, from the government attacking him. And so I think Trump had some very bad judgment about evil. Maybe his life was too ordinary, you know? He was just a multimillionaire guy, you know, who built buildings and seemed to have pretty good relationships with most of the people in his family and most of the people who worked for him, and been a Democrat because he was in New York City and practical man. Maybe he didn't grasp the evil, but he was purposely surrounded. Remember when this is an interesting story. As far as I know, I'm the only one that's told it. Some of it's in the book, some of it's new, what I'm telling you right now. You remember, he finally decided, under the influence of another dear friend of mine who's gone now, he died, Zev Zelenko. He did die of natural causes. I was close enough to him to know that it wasn't poisoned or anything. He was just in his 40s. But he was very badly treated. But he came up, he got to the president the idea of using hydroxychloroquine. That's why the president talked about it and got into a public sort of shaming from Fauci because of it, Fauci lying about the drug, because it was a cure. It would have stopped the pandemic, tetanus tracks. And, the studies show 75% reduction in deaths and 85% reduction in hospitalizations from that protocol, from that treatment regimen. And what happened is that 10 years before, when Bill Gates announced the decade of the brain, I keep saying brain because that's an important decade too, decade of the vaccines, because Gates did. You know, who's Gates to announce a decade? The decade of the brain came out of Congress and the presidency. I mean, who is he to say it's decade of the brain? Well, he got to work. The minute he said that, he had been at that point the wealthiest man in the world for many years. And he had many wealthy, very close to him people. And so naturally, everybody with money took that very seriously. The public may have not realized what he was doing, but he was organizing the world financially for the next pandemic. and he did it at the World Economic Forum. So, I mean, he was really making an organization, and he did it. He collaborated with the UN and with the World Health Organization to do that. So he created a special organization called CEPI, C-E-P-I, where he trained future people. And he brought in different people to train them in the plan. And we have the master plan. It's called the preliminary business plan for CEPI, the master plan for everything that unfolds in terms of the making billions of dollars and pushing the vaccines through. And one of the people that he brought on was a man named Rick Bright. And he also brought on a man named Hatchett. Hatchett was the former head of a new organization in the federal government to control vaccines and other emergency procedures called BARDA, especially set up just to do something like they were going to do when they got their next pandemic, to just take over and make billions and billions of dollars and shut out the good treatments and bring in their crap, their poisonous stuff. So they set it up so that they could install Rick Bright to be the head of BARDA. So that gave them a huge thing, and that's 10 years earlier. They're training him and including him, sure. And he's on their committees. And they hired the guy Hatchett to be the life, I never heard of this before, the life CEO of CEPI, which was their big viral, not viral really, but vaccine, the big vaccine trust. And so when these programs arrived, they had heavy control over BARDA. They're literally their life CEO was a former head of BARDA, and Rick Bright was now the head of BARDA. So Trump goes ahead and he tries to release the I don't know whether it's 60 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. It would have been the beginning of the end. So as soon as the first doses were given out and doctors knew they could do it, the president was distributing it, they would have been curing their patients. I mean, there were doctors who literally would see 500 patients, 1,000 patients. They might have one death or no deaths, and that would usually be some old compromised person who came to them too late.
Yep.
And Rick Bright, working with the head of the OVER group, which is Health and Human Services, of which his institute was a part of, all the institutes are part of Health and Human Services. So these two powerful bureaucrats, Rick Bright in particular, said he wasn't going to release these drugs, that they killed people.
Yeah.
And he went against the president. The president couldn't do anything. The FDA was on the side of stopping the drugs. The CDC was on the side. The HHS was on the side. So he had to deal with this revolution, this kind of a, it really was a coup. People aren't quite going to call it a coup enough. It was a coup, and they stopped him from saving the nation. And God knows, maybe that was just the end point for him. I have no idea. But he then slowly caves into everything. And Rick Bright, I'm calling him the man who could have saved the world and didn't. And he was working under the command of these people that had employed him for years at CEPI. And when he went to, when Trump couldn't fire him, he can't fire any of these people, but he could remove him from the position he had. Then he quit the government. Oh, he sued Trump for abuse. And it was
right
settled. They won't tell us.
Huh.
Yes, and they wouldn't. Huh. They won't tell us how much money he got from his federal friends, his cronies. But he went to work for the Rockefeller Foundation. He now runs the Rockefeller Foundation vaccine program and the worldwide globalist programs.
Mm-hmm.
And he brags in his bio about how he was in on CEPI from the beginning. He's bragging about it because nobody cares. So there's a little vignette that has not been told in that detail before, and it's good to be with you and have all this time.
No, that's fascinating, Peter, and thank you for putting that in the record. People will be listening to that for as long as there are people with ears, I hope. We have seen this all play out in front of us. It has not been necessarily hidden, but the American public have been so dumbed down, or to be polite, lulled into a state of semi-consciousness that they didn't see any of this. They just didn't notice it because their mainstream media didn't talk about it like you do. It's crazy. It's all been out. It's out in the open, though. It's right out in the open.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it takes a lot of effort to research it, like for me and Ginger, but I don't think it's a matter of us being smarter than other people. I think it's a matter that she and I were going to find the truth.
You both have been extraordinary in doing that. Erica, go ahead.
Well, so they've got a master plan that they're intent on deploying, and they have deployed. I don't see this being a success because the vaccines are killing people. They're not good for anything other than killing people. They don't protect from the disease they're supposed to protect against. And where is this going? But I sometimes think that they float some of these success stories out there to keep the confidence of investors high, so that the investors keep throwing money at these, I don't know, what do you call these, gene, biotech, whatever, innovations, thinking that this is where the future's at. You know, everybody's going to have a vaccine for every infectious, contagious disease on the planet, and that's how they're going to make their money. And, well, okay, maybe a few people get hurt. They'll make money on giving them gene therapies to correct the genes they've destroyed. But really...
Well, it's when you use the word success, I think that these vaccines, and I think we've talked about this many times, are doing exactly what they were designed to do.
Well, that's where it doesn't add up. I mean, if they're intent on killing people and just, you know, a covert genocide, that they are accomplishing that. But, you know, looking ahead, if you watch, I don't know, CNN or some of these financial networks, they're billing these things as a raving success. So I don't think you can have it both ways. I mean, at some point, the bodies, you can't hide any more bodies, right?
That's correct.
So I don't know. Is there a flaw in the plan? Well,
I don't know. All I know is...
Go ahead.
Well, no,
this is the hardest. This is the hardest part. This is the hardest part for me and Ginger. And we didn't get to it until we were like two-thirds through the research on the book. And we went ahead and then came to the conclusion in the book that they did what they intended. To them, it's a roaring success. It's a roaring success. They managed to shut down every democracy in the world. Their primary goal was to destroy democracy, and that's what they're still working on. That I think it helps to see what the primary goal is.
Right.
They. In Klaus Schwab, in his book about COVID-19, calls it a success, and he said in his discussion, he talks about future successes for globalism, and he says that the main impediment is a patriotic, democratic nation. He doesn't say constitutional democracy, but that's what the real threat is. It's a democracy that doesn't run wild, but that is based on freedom. He doesn't even understand that, I think. But the freedom-loving democracy, a patriotic democracy, a God-fearing democracy, he won't mention that, but he means that, will not kowtow and cave in to globalism. And so his main goal in all that's going on is to take out the democracies. And he is so crushed. Australia, which is right on his Belt and Road, circle the world with the economies that he is in charge of.
Right.
Australia is worse off than we are. Canada is worse off than we are. But I think that we could surpass them. We could be collapsed. If we don't stand up and fight and just really do everything in our power to win the elections, to stand up for freedom, they will destroy us. And the puppet who's destroying us right now is, Joe Biden. And I urge people to stop thinking of Joe as making all these stupid decisions. First of all, Joe's not making any decisions. It's probably Obama.
And oh, it's Obama.
He wants to be president of the world.
Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Obama. You got
yeah.
it. And they're taking orders from... Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and they're taking their
orders from
too.
On high and probably going mm-hmm. very, getting very, very rich. Also not well-to-do people, particularly. Although the wife, Mrs. Obama, I think she was making $500,000 a year just being on a board of a hospital or something.
Well, that's the big game.
The data,
get on the board of directors of any number of corporations and get these huge salaries. You mentioned hospital, though. Hospitals now, as you and Ginger know, are running, many of them, overly crowded and understaffed. They've got people waiting hours and hours and hours and hours to get seen in ICU or ER. They don't have beds for them. They don't have staff to attend to the beds when they are filled with people. You're going to see hospitals, everyone listening, you mark these words down. You're going to see hospitals begin to close down soon. They cannot tolerate the amount of patient load. They can't tolerate the understaffing. They're bringing in Filipinos here as fast as they can and nursing and so forth. But these hospitals are, I think, doomed, a lot of them. They're just not going to make it for a variety of reasons. And then people will be stuck at home trying to get well. In fact, in many ways, the worst place to go if you're sick is the hospital. Now, as you know.
Yeah. Well, remember that the success of Marxism builds on destroying the existing society in every way possible. And that's what they're trying to do.
We have to understand. Yes, we have to understand that we are at war and the enemy is ruthless, wickedly ruthless. And we don't understand that as a people yet. We just don't. And without control or access to the mainstream media, we have books like yours. But how many people really read anymore? They stare and they react. They just don't proactively go about life. And that's been part of the game. America has PTSD, Peter. The American
yeah.
people have been beaten half to death in the last 2 years. And they can crank this pressure machine up of grief anytime they want to, because they own the media, and the media is the reality of the masses.
That's very well put. I'm 100% in agreement with that, and the media is totally under the control of the globalists.
Yeah.
In a way, I
almost hesitate to say this, but in a way, it's already game, set, and match. They've won. They've injected maybe 6 billion people with over 14 billion injections total. They are rolling out these boosters all the time now. I went into a pharmacy last week, and the person in charge said that they give about 50 shots a day of this booster, which is almost universally now acknowledged, or people are beginning to acknowledge it as being very dangerous and increasing shedding and possibly increasing spike protein therein. So we're in trouble here. And you couldn't be more correct. I don't know. I don't see a way out of it. I don't want to sound negative or defeatist, but what the hell do we do?
Well, I think that the hope is that with the increasing damage, there's increasing awareness, and finally our country will fight back. But as we're watching it right now, Brazil has fought back against their stolen election with so much more vigor than we have. But what happened here is January 6th of 2 years now. My God, is it 2 years?
It is. Is it really two that those poor people have been incarcerated?
And
like
they're
that?
Still locked up and incarcerated and abused in the legal system by judges, even ones appointed by Trump. The Washington, D.C. Judicial District there is so corrupt. The judges are so corrupt. And you know, I'm thinking about this, Jeff. Someone tell me if I'm wrong. Since January 6th of 2 years ago, there has not been a single large conservative gathering on the streets of any city in America.
No.
None in Washington.
Mm-mm.
That we have been totally cowed. No patriotic, large scale, and I'm going to say protest, just them people getting together to express their desire to have freedom and the desire to restore America. There's been nothing like that. And I think it's understandable, but at some point we have to take our freedom, cherish it more than just our lives, really. That's what our founders did. You know, folks, when our founders, most of whom were very well-off people, not all of them, when our founders signed the Declaration of Independence, they literally were signing the death warrants. These were these very successful men. They had not a lot to gain other than they wanted their freedom from Great Britain. They could have continued to thrive and pay their taxes. They were wealthy people and well-to-do people and successful people, many of them lawyers, many of them ministers, slaveholders, as often been pointed out. They had a lot of strength. But they signed this because they believed that they had the right to be free of the British Empire. And they knew if caught, they would be hung on the spot. The orders were out. When John Adams went to France on the, you know, took weeks across the country and probably in a boat that could in no way successfully outrun a British frigate, probably. I mean, if he had been caught, they would have hung him at sea. The king had said, do it. We have to become brave people. Ginger and I had to decide. I'm 86, she's 71. We were just 2 years younger than that. We had to decide whether the wonderful career we had should be set aside. And this being, the conscience of psychiatry, and risk it all. And we decided to risk it all.
Well, you are reflective of those great men and women that made this country in its original state, one nation under God. So all I can say is bravo to both of you times 10. And thank you, Peter, very much for being here again. We'll have you back soon. We'll always learn when you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm always glad to come back.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Peter.
Oh, good night, Erica.
Good night.
Night.
Good
wonderful
to have you.
Audience.
All right. He's one of a kind, and he does mention our founding fathers, and he's cut from the same cloth, same kind of bravery, selfless bravery. And I just don't, unfortunately, see the masses who have been, as I mentioned, so beaten down and beaten up and made ill by toxicity in the food, the air, or the water. It doesn't matter. These people have been targeted. This war has been on for a long time. It didn't just happen the last 5-10 years. And he's 100% correct about China. We are their sworn enemy. And Americans don't know that. They just don't get it.
No, it's unfortunate. But we're lucky to have people like him to be an inspiration for the rest of us.
Those who can still be inspired. And I'm not sure how many that is anymore. I just don't know.
Mano.
Thanks, Erica. Yeah, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back tomorrow night. Peter Bregan, his book and Ginger's book, Extraordinary. We'll be back. See you tomorrow.